It's Song Talk Radio.
Welcome to Song Talk Radio, the show with songwriters talking to other songwriters about the craft of songwriting. We share tips, tools, and techniques, and together we all become better at writing songs. Dialing in from our headquarters in Toronto, I'm Neil Modi, and with me, my co-host, Phil Emery. How you doing, Phil?
Calling in from St. John's, Newfoundland, I'm on special this week because it's Black Friday. I think it's Black Friday, isn't it? Yeah. Black Friday. On special.
That's good. How much is the discount?
It's 100%. I'm free.
100% off? It's free?
I'm totally free. So, but no refunds.
You're available? Or?
No, just nobody wants me. It's okay.
Still no one's biting? Oh, come on.
No one's biting.
Oh, well.
I'd have to actually offer people money to take me, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I'm sure Heather will take that deal.
Yeah. She already gets me for free, so.
Exactly. He's not charging her by the day.
No.
Good to know that. All right. And for everyone else, please send your comments, questions, your Black Friday discount deals to at Song Talk Radio on Facebook or Instagram. Feedback at songtalk.ca for the email, and we'll share your thoughts on the show. Please visit songtalk.ca to see the show post for this episode and to find links to resources we mention and to download lyric and chord sheets to follow along with the songs that we feature. Tonight, just in the family, we're going to be talking about Song Studio and their Song Call Songwriting Challenge and my answer to their latest challenge. But before we get to that, a couple of pre-show items. Based on our episode last week where we finished our songwriting challenge, to write a song in an odd time signature, we featured three more of our listeners' songs, and we were fortunate enough to get email messages back from two of them. So they wrote to us. So we got an email from Dan Daganisto, and he wrote to us, says, "Hi, guys. Thanks so much for putting my song on your show and for your kind words. I think your comments on how loose I was in the performance were accurate. It was a deliberate choice. I recorded the music first on Cubase with a drum track, the recording attached. When trying to sing to it, it just sounded too mechanical, not at all like the picture I was trying to paint. I like this version, although I am completely ditched the bridge, and it might be worth recording the song again with more instrumentation. But somehow just a single voice and piano and just taking time in the performance seemed to me to conjure up the scene more vividly. At any rate, thanks again. Hope to see you at the December meetup. Best, Dan." Yeah. Thanks for writing, Dan. Yeah, that's absolutely true, eh? Like, you gotta listen to the song. Like, like, you know what I mean? Listen to the song, but you gotta listen to what the song wants.
Yeah.
And let the tools work for you, for the song, rather than the other way around, right? You can't be a slave to the tools.
When I did listen to the track, it is clear, you know, with the 5/4 and where it hit. Mm-hmm. But I did so much more enjoy his original version, which was loose and sort of beautiful, and it's one of my favorites.
Absolutely.
Of our listener songs this year, so I thought it was great, but it was wonderful hearing that work in progress.
Yeah. It's amazing the steps he went through. And certainly his piano and vocal version suited the content really well. Let the lyric shine through, and it really supported the song well. So yeah, good choice, Dan, on doing that instead of just, you know, going to the default. I got a drum track, record the song, done.
Right. Yes, you know, I love stuff like that, but I don't sort of do that. I need to, you know, I guess push myself out of my comfort zones, which is what the whole point of all those songwriting challenges is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Thanks for writing back to us, Dan. And of course, we got an email from Steve Johnson. He wrote to us, said, "Hey, Neil and Phil, thank you for your kind words about my song, Let It Roll. To answer some of your questions, my DAW is GarageBand on an iPad, which is moderately...
Oh, my God. That's insane.
You did that on an iPad? You got to be kidding me.
iPad?
Okay. Yeah, you only get a choice of 4/4, 3/4, or 6/8 as time signatures. Wow. Due to this, I found my eighth note pulse in 4/4 and used that as my basic framework. I've become adept at ignoring the heavy downbeat and just let it roll through my varying subdivisions. In the case of this song, I think it started with the time signature in mind and then built the chords and bass line around the 4+4+2, 4+3 groupings. As far as the rap is concerned, I tend to write a whole bunch of lyrics with the beat loosely in mind. Once I have my backing track, I make syllabic adjustments to fit within the meter. there's a little bit of trial and error and experimenting before the final product begins to show its true self. In general, when writing, I usually start with music before lyrics. I'm still on the odd time kick and just wrote a tune with the verse in 6+7+6 and the chorus in 6+5 time. This guy's a mad scientist. And then wrote a melody to fit within that meter. That's awesome. I find the trick to getting a melody to fit is to feel the meter as naturally as possible without counting to the spirit of the tune. One song I wrote that I almost sent into the challenge was in 7-4. It's probably simple by his standards.
Oh, yeah.
The melody came directly from one of the Orff volumes. Carl Orff established a revolutionary method of music education and compiled melodies that would naturally appeal to children. Among these melodies are our odd time signature examples of 7 and 5, etc. The first Orff Schulwick School in North America was at the University of Toronto in 1955. If you didn't count it, you probably wouldn't know that it was in 7-4. Though odd, odd time signatures can feel natural. I really enjoyed your episode with Odd Times with Frank Horvat. Re-listened to some odd time examples that felt pretty good. Thanks again, fellas. I try not to miss an episode of the show. Once I have a proper release in 2026, Mark, I would love to be a guest on the show. Best, Steve Johnson. Thanks for writing, Steve. And yes, absolutely. You can be a guest when you release your album. Just give us a heads up and we'll be happy to feature you. That's quite the thing. And thanks, Steve, for letting us know about your process.
Wow. And the fact that he does that on GarageBand on an iPad really shows you don't need a lot of stuff to make a great track, you know? And it's so easy to... Coming up with, Black Friday, we've all been looking at all the various sales out there and picking stuff up. And, you probably don't need it. You probably just need to work with what you have, because what he did with GarageBand on iPad, absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Absolutely spectacular. I mean, on that note, I saw a thing for a Black Friday, a free synth to download. It might have been always free. It was like a retro synth thing. I'm like, what do I need another retro synth for? And then I watched the YouTube video and listened to a couple of the samples of the thing. I'm like, I bet I could recreate every single one of these sounds in Super 8 and Native Instruments Super 8, which I already have, right? Load up Super 8 and dial it in. Yeah, I can recreate any of these sounds. Like, what do I need? Even for free, what do I need another retro synth for?
That's true. Although this is the first Black Friday I actually have bought a couple of things.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I bought a version of the Selena string machine, which is a synth I used a lot when I was young. So I had a very strong emotional attachment to it, and I was able to get that for $29.
Nice.
Which is, there's one, it's quite good. There's one that's slightly better by Arturia, but that's $199 or even $99. And that's sort of more than I wanted to spend.
Yeah.
And I got a CR78, which is, of course, an emulation of the Roland rhythm machine that Blondie used for Heart of Glass and a whole bunch of things.
Oh, really? Okay.
And again, a machine that I used a lot when I was a kid and I loved. So I was able to get that for, $29. And that's what I wanted to spend. I didn't want to spend that much more. And there was a couple of other free deals I picked up. But nothing too crazy. How about you, Neil?
I haven't really picked up much because, like I said, I've got Native Instruments 13 Ultimate. There's so much stuff in there I haven't even touched still 3 years later. I just need to work with what I have. Although I did subscribe to Arturia dropped their, is it Arturia? No, the other, not eMusic, A-Music, whatever. Anyway, Waves is coming in, tomorrow. It was one. It was a tape machine. It was a stereo or dual tape machine thing that they're giving away for free. And I'm like, okay. I mean, do I need another tape machine either? I don't know. I have one that I got for free called Magnetite a while back, and it's like amazing. It's like perfect for everything I do. So I'm like, I'm good.
That's fine.
Yeah. But getting back to Steve's email. One thing you might want to consider, Steve, is we have that resource on the song songtalk.ca on the page for this odd time signature challenge where Joe Gilder from the Personas, and just because he was Personas doesn't matter, I'm hoping you can do this on GarageBand on the iPad now that I think about it. But he set his strong downbeats on his metronome to the same volume as his offbeats, so that when you're listening to your pulse in 4/4, it's just click, 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 click. They're all the same. There's no downbeat per se. So you can play in any time signature and just suit to match afterwards or whatever. If you end up putting it into a desktop version or Logic or whatever,
right?
And map out the time signatures, or maybe you don't have to bother. You just play through it, but then you don't have to worry about not getting thrown off or not getting thrown off by the strong downbeat. They're all the same, so it doesn't matter.
Good advice.
Yeah. It's a good thing. I actually employed that same technique on my song when I was doing the polymeter.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
part
that's
of
good.
My song, because I didn't want to get thrown off by the 3/4 music in order to establish a 4/4 melody.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Well, and the meter, then the click would have been in 3/4, and then that would have, but I had to use the click because I turned off the music in order to write the 4/4 melody. But I still had the click, so it would be in time. But then that's how you do it. You make all the clicks the same and just watch the screen so it lines up.
Yes. Well, I'm sure if I did odd meter stuff for a while, I'd get better at it. But it was a struggle, and I'm glad I did it.
Yeah. And your song was pretty cool. It was funky and neat. And
yeah.
It was great. Great challenge for sure.
Good fun.
Okie dokie. And you had a little tidbit, Phil?
Yes. So we get a lot of mailings from various PR companies and artists. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to send out a bit of advice, and I realize some people may not have been doing this. If you run a PR company and you are sending things out to radio stations or podcasts, or you are sending things out to, even if you're just a songwriter sending your stuff out, you want to make sure that your emails are properly configured so they don't wind up in spam. And so many things that people send us wind up in the spam. What you would do is there is a website called mailtester.com, and that's mail, M-A-I-L hyphen tester.com. And you use your browser to go to that website. It gives you an email address, which you send an email to, and it will respond, and it will tell you how authenticated your email is and whether or not you have the various DKIMs and DMARCs and SPF and other things that email services use to determine whether or not your email is spam or not. And that will help your messages get through to people and not get stuck in spam. I see stuff in spam just because of the way my emails are set up because of client work and so on. But not everybody does. So mailtester.com, use that and your emails will get through.
Interesting. That's cool. I never heard of that service before. I have to use that. I just yesterday, literally, I had an experience with a client who I was texting him and said, "Did you get my email?" And he was like, "Yes, I did. I replied to yours." I'm like, "No, I didn't see it. Can you send it again?" "No, I'm still not seeing it." I had to get him to send it to my personal email as opposed to my business email. And then it came through, but I was like, it wasn't in spam. It just never arrived, and I don't know why.
Well, because some, it's frustrating. Some mail servers will actually just not deliver mail, not bounce it. They're supposed to bounce it back saying, this message cannot be.
And I didn't ask him that explicitly, but presumably he never got a bounce back either because he presumed I got it. So,
yeah. So mailtester.com, definitely worth it. And it's also free, which is nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So, pretty cool. Excellent. Great tip there, Phil.
Yes.
Okie dokie. All right, we'll definitely put a link to that in the show post.
Yes.
Okay.
So let's talk about your song.
Yeah. So onto the main thing here. So Song Studio, for the folks who don't know, is a week long songwriting camp run by Blair Packham and Alistair Bradley, who have been on our podcast many times, both of them. And their whole thing is Song Studio is helping you create and share your best songs ever. Run by veteran songwriters and artists, Blair Packham and Alistair Bradley. They've been delivering songwriter education since 2005. and are Canada's premier songwriting experience. We've had many guests and even past hosts of our podcast that have gone to their song studio camp and really loved it and thought it was a terrific thing. So they do offer songwriting challenges on the regular if you subscribe to their newsletter. And in November, I finally took part in one of their songwriting challenges. Usually I can't do them, but I took part in their song call to write a song based on the word shadow. So they put up this songwriting challenge on their website, and it says there, we were thinking about our next topic, and we're drawn to the natural observation that it's autumn here in Canada, with the colors changing, the temperature cooling, and the shadows growing longer as the sun's arc dips lower on the horizon. Several ideas came easily from this, but shadow seemed to be provocative. Not only is a shadow the long black thing that trails behind us, it also lends itself to metaphor. A shadow can transcend time. My memories are shadows, never leaving my side, and often expand to include other people. For example, I am my father's shadow. It can be a lurker or a companion. It can be ominous or comforting. What else could a shadow be? You decide, get creative. Use this to spark your imagination and write something new and fresh. And they also have a little bit on there about using AI to write this song. And they say, while we are all watching with interest as AI tools evolve, this call is not for songs generated by an AI tool. We want to encourage you to use your songwriting skills to write. And while you can use AI and other software as a songwriting tool, say to spark an idea or look for rhyming words, we are not looking for songs with lyrics or melody generated by an AI. So they do put that on their challenges. I wonder if that's something we should put on our challenges.
Probably, But it's interesting, because our song challenges are so based in technique, so not really so much in lyrics, but actually in technique about, writing a song where the, the verse right. and the chorus doesn't change, that kind of thing. Still, which I think is probably a little bit harder to do with AI, but yeah, let's add that, I think, to our songwriting challenge next year. Not that our listeners would do that, because our listeners are too cool.
Yeah, our listeners are super cool, but I mean, we have to care about that kind of issue.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm not sure. Anyway. Yeah, fair enough. Okay. So tonight we're going to be talking about the song that I wrote for this challenge. And what I did was I took their prompt about shadow, and my brain immediately went to this book that I read many years ago in university, called In Praise of Shadows. And it was basically a book by a Japanese author, and really from an aesthetic point of view, the author was talking about embracing shadow in like architectural design and stuff like that, right? Where Japanese homes and things like that are often there's often these dark alcoves and there's room left for space like underneath overhangs and things like that, and how shadow is not necessarily a negative thing. It's actually a positive thing. It's a place for contemplation. It's a place for meditation. It's a place for those sorts of things. And I didn't have access to the book, and I didn't have a lot of time, so I looked up a YouTube video, just typed in about In Praise of Shadows, and I did find a video that talked about it. And This is the one part of this process where I did use AI. I plugged the video link into Gemini and asked it to please transcribe this video for me, because I wanted to pull out words for lyrics. So I got a transcription of the video, and the video was quite nice. Like it talked about the book quite well in those terms about light and shadow, and there's a bit of the transcript of the video is like, there's nothing, an empty space is marked off with plain wood and plain walls. So light drawn from its forms, dim shadows within emptiness. There's nothing more. And yet when we gaze into the darkness that gathers around, behind the cross beam, around the flower base, beneath the shelves, though we know perfectly well it is mere shadow, we are overcome with the feeling that in this small corner of the atmosphere that reigns complete and utter silence, that here in the darkness, immutable tranquility holds sway. So, it was a beautifully narrated video, and it as well started to talk about the differences sort of between Eastern and Western philosophies and ways of thinking. Like Western thinking, especially when it comes to like businesses and things like that, there's perpetual light and growth, right? Like you're always pushing for the envelope, and we want to eradicate the shadows, and we want to bathe everything in the brightest light that we can and see everything as it is. Whereas in Eastern philosophy, there's a little bit more of the take it as it is approach, and we're not actually pushing for something, you know, bigger and brighter, but we're just accepting what is and sort of
beautiful,
sort of going with that kind of, you know, Zen vibe, so to speak, right?
Beautiful idea.
So I started taking little bits and pieces out of this video transcript, which I just pasted into a Google Doc. And I did this exercise that I learned from Pat Pattison's free online songwriting course years ago about, you know, box one, box two, box three, which isn't necessarily verse one, verse two, verse three, or one of them is a chorus, one of them is a bridge or anything like that, but just the evolution of the song, like where do you want this song to go? So for box one, I pulled out these things out of the video, like the image of a flickering candle, the sound of rustling silk, the smell of incense burning. That's kind of a neat imagery. So I was really going for the things that are sense-based language, right? And then there's this one phrase that he has in there about wanderers that leave no trace. It's like, it's sort of like the provincial parks mantra, like only take photographs, leave footprints, nothing else kind of thing. Like you don't want to be pulling stuff from the environment kind of thing. So kind of interesting phrases like that, and then also talking about the dichotomy with the Western side about the progression of light, about oil lamps, gas lights, electric lights, and that kind of, you know, mirrors the progression of society, right? And that sort of thing, and then this whole idea just about tranquility and stillness and silence. Sort of thing. And I also employed a technique that I've used now, I think for the third time, since I've been writing songs, is write every song as a haiku poem. So it's three lines, five syllables, seven syllables, five syllables. And so each verse is a haiku poem. And then there's a refrain that's just three words, silence, absence,
stillness. Wow, I've never heard of that before.
So yeah, I've actually done this for two other songs in the past. And I actually find that's like when I don't have a lot of time, write the thing as a haiku and you get there a lot faster because you're so limited in what you can do. And you just have to find the right words for that particular verse that you're talking about.
Great suggestion. Yeah. Because if you are having trouble getting to the next step, limiting your options actually makes things much, much easier.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
Great. Yeah. So, that's a great idea.
Yeah. Thank you. And then I came up with the lyrics first and then wrote a chord progression on the piano that was very kind. I wanted it to be meditative. So I didn't want like massive jumps of like modulations and things like that. So everything's in key. And it's just, you know, it's very easy movements and things like that. Like it does sound, it's very smooth. I wanted the experience to be smooth. So that was the kind of chord choices in there. And then I got my AI singer, Solaria, to help me out with the vocal performance, having programmed in the MIDI for the melody. And that was kind of it. I actually did play around with different, it's all synth pad, the arrangement. I actually did play around with a synth sound originally that had a lot of movement in it because I wasn't going to have any percussion in this track. I just wanted it to be sort of flowing. But I found that the synth pad that I dialed up a preset in Massive X, Native Instruments Massive X, and it was too much stuff. You know, so then I went back to like a simple subtractive synthesizer and just did a simple pad at a very gentle kind of movement to it, and then put in some electronic drums, and that was kind of it. And I also used a sample of Gentle Rain Falling because I thought that was evocative of the kind of mood nice. That I wanted to keep in this song. And that was kind of it.
That's really cool.
And then I did submit it to the song studio guys, but I wasn't able to attend the final sharing meetup. But I was able to actually listen to a little bit of it from the other room with my wireless headphones, because I just didn't have access to my computer at the time. And I did take a little bit of feedback that they incorporated. And I also took a 2-hour song talk meetup in November and got some feedback there. And really, it was just a matter of a couple of lyric choices here and there. That sort of tweaked. But that was really it. Like it was kind of maybe two or three drafts of this thing, and it was done.
Oh, nice. Well, let's take a listen and then we'll talk some more.
Okie dokie.
I like that's very atmospheric.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really like the sound, and then the rain, and then like sort of the claps with lots of reverb kind of gave it some really nice space, which I thought was great. What was cool is also you have that like very much your, I guess, refrain, which is the silence where it kind of jumps up.
Mm-hmm.
Like an octave or whatever it is. And that worked really well, because it was very clear that it was sort of the money shot of the song, so to speak, you know? And I kind of wanted to hear that more often.
Yeah, it was pretty stripped down. I had considered repeating it maybe twice at the end or something.
I think you could have done it twice each time, because it's kind of hooky, you know?
Right.
Like, it maybe even expand it to being more of a full course, but maybe that gets a bit more sort of involved and not quite as ambient as you wanted.
Yeah, like in some ways that's kind of antithetical to the whole exercise. Like I wanted it extraordinarily simple as much as I could. You know, no odd time signatures here.
it's what a great idea about doing it as a haiku, writing lyrics as a haiku.
Yeah, and this is actually the third time I've done this. The first time I did it was like years ago. And that was more of and every time I've done it, it has been a more ambient, kind of ethereal. The first one was more industrial in some ways, but it was still that sort of thing with a little bit of a refrain.
Yeah.
That's not a haiku, and stuff like that. But it, it's an interesting approach, and you don't have to rhyme.
Oh, that's true. Actually, nice. Yeah.
You probably don't want to, in fact.
Yeah, because haikus don't usually rhyme, I don't think.
Yeah. I mean,
do you remember what the changes were that you made?
Blair had a good suggestion that I heard in the Zoom chat. Originally, in the first verse, I had flickering candle, the smell of incense burning. And he suggested use scent because it's a softer word. And that kind of goes with things. So scent of incense burning, although it's more syllables than... Or more consonants, more hard consonants than smell, but still, I think
that's
right
true
about that. And the other change I made was in the last verse, low humming engine, eyes that gaze out the window was originally eyes that gaze away from your palm, because I was trying to allude to, you know, if you're... The low humming engine was a reference in the video as well. The person talks about that film Spirited Away.
Of course, yeah.
The Japanese anime film where the main character, the girl, is catching a train ride in silence with a ghostly companion, and she's just sitting there, and we sit there as the audience. We sit there with them, right. And they're on a train, and everything's just... The landscape is passing by, and that's it. And it's extraordinarily simple, and there's no distractions, and there's no anything like that, right? And you go on a subway or on a bus now, and everyone's heads are down because they're looking at their phones.
That's true.
And not being present in the moment, and not appreciating the world around them, right? So it was sort of an illusion around that, and I was trying to say, you know, don't stare at your damn phone without putting, you know, don't stare at your damn phone. and eventually I just thought about instead of the negativity of don't look at your phone, what should you be doing? Eyes that gaze out the window.
Oh, right? Nice.
You're just sitting there and you're just looking out at the world. That's all. Right. Nice. And pause to contemplate. Right. So it was meant to be kind of meditative and just zone out and do your thing. Right.
Which, you know, I think as songwriters, it can be hard to be simple. We have all these sort of tools, and it's kind of like modern production, like at home. We have so many tracks and so many instruments, so we just keep on adding stuff. And after a while, you're not adding anything better. It just kind of gets worse. Where, you know, back in the day, you had 8 tracks or 16 or 24.
Yeah.
And that's it. And you sort of worked within those constraints. Again, working with within constraints.
Yeah, the song is five tracks. There's the drum track, a little percussion stuff. Well, okay, the rain is another track, if you want to count that. So 6 tracks. There's a synth bass, there's a synth pad, and then a synth sort of string line that only comes in the refrain.
Yeah.
And then the vocals. That's it. A single line of vocals. No harmonies, no doubles, no nothing.
Nice and simple.
Yeah, yeah, very, very simple. Don't need a lot.
Yeah, well, I'm impressed that you keep on doing these song challenges, even if they're not ours. You know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've done. It's the first time I've done Song Studios one. I definitely recommend everyone sign up for their newsletter at least. It's pretty much the only thing they send out on their newsletter, I think, is these, they call them the song call for this month.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever. And I think the ones I've seen that I maybe haven't engaged in necessarily, but I think they mostly prompt a word or a phrase or something. You know, they don't go to the craziness that we do with odd time signatures and chords don't change and
modes whatever. Or
yeah. Yeah, modes.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, there's a space for everyone, I think, in the in the songwriting world.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, and there's and prompting off a word is a great idea. It really
is.
It does open you up to all sorts of things, right? And the little bits of the meetup that I heard, like, everyone, of course, came up with a completely different answer, right?
Of course.
So it was fascinating to hear a bit of some of all the other songs and stuff like that. So it was really interesting thing. I think I'll continue to engage in their challenges when they send them out if I have the time.
Yeah, I like the form of this song. You do more stuff like that.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, cool. Cool stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Alrighty. Okay, I'm here in the band. I think that's all the time we have on Song Talk Radio. So special thanks to the Song Studio guys, Blair and Alistair, for holding this challenge. Thanks a lot. We'll be sure to forward you this episode.
And thank you, Neil, for doing your song.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, people. Yeah, I'm glad you liked it. And happy to contribute. All right. We want to hear from you, too. So please send us your comments, Facebook or Instagram, to @SongTalkRadio, or send us an email, feedback@songtalk.ca. Also, be sure to check out our YouTube channel for live performance videos and full episodes, and subscribe today to the Song Talk Radio podcast on your favorite podcast provider, and please support us at our Patreon page. You can visit us at songtalk.ca/support. Thanks to everyone who has supported us so far. You can find links to all the products, books, and web services we mentioned on the show on our resources page on the website. And please visit us at our next monthly Song Talk meetup. Whether you're in Toronto for our in-person meetups or anywhere in the world for our online meetups, it's free to join on Eventbrite and free to attend the meetup. Bring a song and a lyric sheet and get constructive feedback from other songwriters. Stop by songtalk.ca for the link. You can follow me at neilmody.com. You can follow Phil.
philemery.ca.
And be sure to stop by the website, songtalk.ca, to browse past shows and find out how you can be a guest. Thanks for tuning in, and keep on writing.